couples, and I had Zacharias and Elizabeth in mind. You know, they are the parents of John the Baptist, and, you know, they were an older couple, and they had some sorrows and disappointments in life, but when you read the scripture, it says Zacharias went to the temple at his appointed time. So he's a very faithful person. They were very faithful. And yet God gave them some close encounters because the angel appeared unto them and promised them great things, that they would give birth to a new generation. And so I believe that as married couples, that there's something powerful about marriages, a husband and wife from the beginning to the end. And just the other day, I ran across a book called The Seven Rings of Marriage. That's what I was looking for on Google. I was trying to pull it up real quick for you. But The Seven Rings of Marriage, first of all, is the engagement ring, you know, choosing who you're going to marry. The wedding ring, you know, the vows and commitments. Then there's prosper ring, you know, you're doing your finances right. Amen. Persevere ring, you know, going through the tough times of life. There's seven of them, but here it is Valentine's Day, and I really believe it's important as a church that we preach marriage, we celebrate marriage. If you are married, that you need to keep falling in love with your spouse over and over again. You know, marriage is for the long haul. That's what Zachariah and Elizabeth, you know, they had been married many, many years, and God used them. And so we see a lot of divorce. We see a lot of people who are shacking up, not getting married. We see a lot of people who are getting married of the same sex. You know, we just see a lot of marriage problems out there. So we as a church ought to say, hey, marriage is wonderful. Did you know that in your marriage, you can reflect the Lord? I was at a grocery store Friday night, and the little girl, there was a little girl ringing me up, and a little girl, I say a little girl, they're probably about 25 years old, you know, but to me, they're just children. And so she was ringing me up, and another little girl was bagging me up, and another little girl's on the other side. And somehow or another, she said, she said, you've got a beautiful wedding band. Did you catch that? A wedding band. And that just opened the door. I said, yes, I've got a beautiful wife. Amen. Praise God. And she said, we had everyone's conversation, and I told her, I said, she asked how long have we been married. I said, this year we'll be married 25 years. And both of them stopped and their mouths dropped. And I'm like, well, I've got a little audience here. And Darnell wasn't with me. She had to use the restroom. So I was all by myself, and I'm like, I need my partner right here with me right now. But I had a captive audience, and I said, we've been married 25 years, and they were like, oh, that's so wonderful. I said, I'm reading a book right now on how to be a better husband. And they were like, oh, my goodness. I was like, really impressing them, right? But I promise you, I was not trying to do that. I was just trying to be a witness. You know, I do want to be a better husband. I do want to be a better Christian. Amen. And so they asked me, I got my bags, and they were like, what is the secret of 25 years? And I had everything in that grocery store stopped. 3 20-year-old girls looking at me wanting to know the secret of 25 years marriage. I said, put God first, and then put your spouse above yourself. And that will give you longevity in marriage. And I turned around and walked away, and they just looked like. So, folks, our marriages, husband and wife, till death do us. There's something about us in a couple married for six. I'm going to wind up preaching this sermon anyway, right? But for 65 years of marriage, 50 years of marriage, 25 years of marriage, 10 weeks of marriage. And if you're not married, God has a person for you. God has a plan for your life. Don't just go for anything and anybody. And if you're single and lonely, I'll tell you, God can bring companionship. He puts people in homes. And if you are married and you're struggling in your marriage, there's hope for your marriage. If you're a teenager, please understand, don't give away yourself until you are married, because that would be a wonderful, wonderful thing. So why don't we just celebrate Close Encounters for Couples? Can we praise God for that? Amen. Now stand with me for the real sermon tonight. Amen. All right. Stand with me. Close Encounters. We've been talking about that you, no matter your past, no matter your pain, no matter your position, no matter your predicament, we can all have close encounters with God. We look at these Bible characters like Adam. We looked at Abraham. We looked at Joseph and Moses and David. Last week we talked about Job. Next Sunday night we'll talk about Isaiah. And you will discover these people were everyday, ordinary people. They may have had halos on their head, but they had dust on their feet. They were everyday people like you and like me. And the point I'm trying to make is, if you think I'm not holy enough, if you think I'm not good enough, if you think I'm not this enough, you are a candidate for a close encounter with God Almighty, the creator of the universe. Can you say amen tonight? And Daniel, we read his prophecies. One of the most prominent things that stood out about Daniel was the prophecies. He talked and he saw about the coming 7-year tribulation. He gave us the exact length of the tribulation period when you read the prophecies of Daniel. He spoke to us of Daniel's little horn that we call it, the Antichrist who will come. He talked about how that in the last days knowledge will increase. And if you've got an iPhone in your pocket like I do, you have more computing power in this little phone than they had in stories of buildings in the 40s and 50s. The same computing power is now in the palm of your hand. Daniel had close encounters with God and made an impact to this day. And I want to have close encounters with God. And I want to be impacted. And I want God to make an impact through me. Is that your prayer? Is that your desire? Can we go to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9? And there's a secret we're going to close with tonight. But Daniel chapter 7 verse 9. Close encounters. We'll talk tonight about Daniel. If you're glad to be here, say amen. Amen. If you're married and you love your spouse, say amen. Amen. Oh, Valentine's Day is Thursday night. My date ought to be Friday night because I asked off. I said, don't schedule me Friday night. Praise God, he scheduled me every Friday night or late Friday. And so I put it in there. I got to have a Friday night for Valentine's Day. And I didn't tell him what the purpose was. I just said I need to be out. Can you say amen there? Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. Y'all still love me? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. It says, and I'm reading from the NASB, so it's a little different. I kept looking until, somebody say the word until. Thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His vesture was white like snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. And his throne was ablaze with flames. And I kept looking until. Father, give us close encounters tonight. As couples, as singles, give us close encounters like Daniel and these others. And we ask that you bless. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're blessed and highly favored tonight. Now I want you one more time to give Jesus a good hand of praise tonight. Close encounters. I said close encounters. The first thing you need to understand about Daniel was that his close encounters began at a very young age. In fact, he was a teenager. God has always had an army of anointed, dedicated, sold out, surrendered, and Holy Ghost filled teenagers and young people who have often made a tremendous difference in their young lives. Young people, you would be surprised, like Joseph, who was very young, Samson in his youth, and David, and Esther, and Timothy. And not only biblical young people, but young people like Cassie Barnall. You may have forgotten about her, but she was one of the victims of the Columbine High School. And the killers went up to her and pointed a gun to her head and asked her point blank, are you a Christian? Knowing that if she said yes, she would end her life. Knowing that if she said no, she would be spared. But Cassie Barnall said a word that has reverberated and touched millions of young people from that day to today on that terrible, infamous day. And she said yes, and they took out her life. But she was close, and she had a close encounter with God. She was standing in the face of death, and as a result, thousands of young people have come to the Lord. I think about another young person who's no longer a young person, but at her early age, Lisa Welchel. Lisa Welchel was an actress on the TV sitcom The Facts of Life. Now I know many of you that are 40 years and younger, you don't remember the sitcom Facts of Life. And I remember watching it in the 80s, and she was the cute blonde up there that was the real prissy blonde. And And they wanted to have a scene or an episode that was around her sleeping with her boyfriend. That was very radical in those days. And they asked her to do that. They wrote it into the script. But she said, no, I'm not going to portray that. And they said, why? Because I'm a Christian. And I don't want to influence other young ladies to sleep with their boyfriend. And so they did the episode, but one of the other girls wound up doing it. But thank God for young people that will stand up for the Lord. There are some young people that are keeping their virtue. There are some young people that are having close encounters with God. Why don't we pray for Pastor Nate and this young generation? They're under such temptation, such trials. And many of the young people today don't even have homes and don't even have families that are stable. And how the devil has gotten to so many of them. In fact, a recent survey of teenagers, just recently, teenagers were surveyed and they were asked the question, what is the greatest problem that you think that teenagers are facing today? And the answer to that was the number one problem that they thought was facing themselves as teenagers today was this, that we don't like ourselves, or I don't like myself. And my friend, that's because they have not heard of the good news of Jesus Christ. That's because they've not been to a Royal Ranger or Girls Ministries class where they learn that they are precious and valuable and that they can have close encounters that they may not like themselves. But on a hill far away, an old rugged cross, God said, I love you so much. I'll die for you. The greatest of all is the love of God that is shed abroad. And so to teenagers, thank God for Daniel's who've had close encounters with God. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise for that tonight? You say, Pastor, I'm not a teenager tonight. Well, I'm looking around. Obviously, we're all beyond that. But I want to tell you this, no matter your age, it's good to encourage our young people. It's good to set the example. It's good to encourage them. And if you have not had close encounters as a young person, guess what? You can have it now. And by the way, age is really overrated. We are all, you know, I was reading the other day, and the scripture says that there is no, that one of these people said there is no resurrection. And Jesus said, what do you mean there's no resurrection? And they said, well, once a person dies, there's no life after death. So when a person dies, that's it. And Jesus said, you don't know the scripture. The Bible says in the Old Testament, this is Jesus saying that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. He said, I'm not the God of the dead. I'm the God of the... He said, well, they died thousands of years. No, they didn't really die. They just changed from where they are. They are still alive in the presence of God. God is the God of the living. We will never die. Oh, somebody give him praise for it tonight that we can have close encounters with the Lord. Amen. I want to give you three things about Daniel. Number one, the position he served. Number one, the position he served. Let's talk about his close encounters. Number one, the position he served. You see, when we first begin reading the book of Daniel, we discover that he was a Jewish teenager who served as a slave for the king of Babylon, on staff for the king of Babylon. Now, I want you to listen to me very closely because I don't have time to go into the history of it. But here's what happened. The nation of Judah, Daniel's home nation, had sinned against God. And as a result, God sent the Babylonians to destroy them, or not to destroy, but to punish them. And most of the people were killed, but those that were not killed were hauled away to a faraway place called Babylon. And Daniel was among those who were transported. And because Daniel was young, and because the Babylonians needed some bright young minds, and because they thought they could indoctrinate these young Jewish boys, Daniel and several of his friends were spared from death. And they were put to work, not in the trenches of the ditch digging, but they were put to work in the palace for the king of Babylon. So you've got to understand Daniel. Please understand. Number one, he had been transported from his country. Number two, he had seen this ungodly nation destroy his godly homeland. He was removed from his family, and he was in a place of tremendous evil influence. Now, that had to be tough. Can you say amen? I mean, his whole world was rocked and shocked. But that wasn't all, because you've got to understand something else. Daniel was working in the king's palace. And I want to be careful how I explain this, but young men who worked for any kings in those days, in order to keep them from having affairs with the king's wives, that they would perform a surgery on those young men to keep them from ever being able to be with a woman. So please understand this. You can add the details to that to your own study. But just understand this. Daniel had been violated. Daniel had been humiliated. Daniel had been wrecked and ruined. He had been transplanted from his comfortable home. His family had been killed. He had been violated in the most personal way. But despite all that, Daniel became what God wanted him to be. Daniel saw visions of the future that we read about tonight. Daniel wrote a book in the Bible. Despite all that he went through, Daniel had close encounters with God. And as I look across this congregation, I know that some of you have been in bad situations. I know some of you have had some horrible circumstances. I know some of you have been humiliated, violated, maybe even molested. I know some of you have been transplanted from what you were a nice, comfortable situation to a terrible wreck. But don't you lose heart, because God can still give you close encounters despite the pain, despite the misery, despite what's been done to you, despite the mistreatment, despite the worst conditions. God can step in and you can step up, and God can give you close encounters just like Daniel. Can you say amen? Amen. Zig Ziglar, a man who died a few years ago, he reminds us that a study of 300 world-class leaders, including Franklin Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, Helen Keller, Mother Teresa, Albert Schweitzer, Martin Luther King Jr., a study of those 300 leaders revealed that 25% of them had serious physical disabilities, and an additional 50% had been abused as children or were raised in poverty. So it makes no difference that your mother wasn't there for you. It makes no difference if your father had forsaken you. It makes no difference your circumstances. It's not a matter of where you've been. It's a matter of where you're headed. It's not a matter of what's been done to you. Everybody today is crying over what's been done to them. But listen, you've got to get over what's been done to you. You've got to get on to what has been done for you. And that is that people may have hurt you. Circumstances may have hurt you. But Jesus died for you so that you could walk with the King. Talk with the King. So that you could. How marvelous. How wonderful is His love. Amazing love. You can. It's not who you are. It's who He is. It's not what you've done. It's what He's doing. And no matter the position you're in, you can have a close encounter with God. Somebody shout hallelujah. You don't know my situation. Well, you need to know my God. Amen. Sister Darnell sings it. If you've got chains, He's a chain breaker. If you've got pain, He's a pain taker. If you need healing, what is it? Forgiveness. I make up words as I go along. He's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, if He's broken your chains, if He's healed you, if He's delivered you, if He's turned things around in your life, would you give Him another hand of praise here tonight? If you've had close encounters, you ought to praise Him. I want you to understand this, that close encounters never depend upon your circumstances. They only depend upon your faith. And I want you to know, in the worst of circumstances, you can have an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can you say amen? Amen. So number one, not only notice the position he served. Number two, notice three major predicaments he faced. The predicaments he faced. Because the first predicament we find is in Daniel chapter 1. When the king was going to feed Daniel and his friends. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king was going to feed them his meat and his diet. But they were Jews, and they were abiding by the laws of Moses. And in order to eat the king's meat, or the king's diet, really, they were going to violate their conscience. They were going to violate the scriptures. Now, we don't particularly, Lord, speaking of that, the Cracker Barrel gift card just fell out of my Bible. Amen. Literally, just fell out of my Bible. I had no idea it was in there. Thank you, Lord. I'm going after church. Amen. But talking about diet. Hallelujah. I want you to know I went to Cracker Barrel for lunch today, and I didn't eat not one bread. Hallelujah. Give me a hand. That was a powerful thing. I got to lose it. Amen. Thank you for that encouragement. God bless you. Glory. But favor. That's right. Pastor, I love the fact it was favor, but I'm going to tell you, I sure wanted them. Amen. But no, when you get your heart set on it, God will give you the willpower. Amen. T.L. Bird, my mentor, used to say, willpower is just want power in reverse. Amen. Never forget that. But he and his friends could not eat the king's diet. And that was dangerous. If they didn't toe the line, they could be executed or killed. And so the captain of who was responsible for them said, look, you've got to eat this meat. Daniel said, no, give us 10 days. Somebody say 10 days. I feel when I read that tonight in my notes, when I was preparing this message, the Lord just put in my spirit that somebody is going to see a turnaround within 10 days. I'm not talking about 10 weeks or 10 years. I know we have to pray and keep on praying, and sometimes it takes 10 years to see an answer. But I want to tell you that Daniel said, no, you ain't got to wait weeks. You ain't got to wait months. God's getting ready to show up in the king's palace. By the way, he is the king. And in about 10 days, you're going to see God show up and show up. And I believe somebody here tonight needs to hear. Somebody needs to know that you're on the verge of a 10-day turnaround. Why don't you go ahead and praise him for a close encounter. I said in 10 days you might get that job. In 10 days you might meet that next spouse. In 10 days you might get that report that says all is well. Within 10 days my God can do something and do something out of nothing. Somebody shout glory tonight. Glory. 10 days. Tell your neighbor, watch out, in 10 days. And the Bible says that after 10 days, they were better off. They did not eat the king's diet. And by the way, let's spiritualize this. We can't have close encounters with God if we're eating the devil's diet. And what do you mean? You can't be watching One Life to Live. And you can't be, I told you about Dallas last week. You can't be listening to things that you ought not listen to. You can't be on the phone gossiping about the preacher. You can't, listen, you cannot be doing, you can't be eating from the world's table and shout in the Lord's house. Can I get a witness out here? This thing is a straight and narrow way. There's some things I'm not going to set before my eyes. There's some things I'm not going to listen to. My body belongs to the Lord. My mind is a theater for God's and to display his glory. We cannot eat the world's diet and all of the evil that we see and all of the wrong. We've got to eat the word of God. We got to have a diet that's filled with prayer and with seeking God and a diet on Lord. We got to have a hunger. The Bible says they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they're going to have some close encounters with God. Are you hungry tonight for the Lord? Do you want more of the Lord? Why don't you say amen tonight? There's some movies, some music, there's some diet that you gotta push back and say, I'm not gonna eat the devil's food. I'm not gonna eat the king of Babylon's food. I'm gonna eat angels' food. I'm gonna feast on the promises of God. And so Daniel feasted on the word of God, and God blessed him, and he had close encounters with God. Can you say amen? Amen. And not only the king's meat, but another predicament was the king's idol. Now, in Daniel chapter 3, we don't really read of Daniel in that chapter. But it does deal with Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I'm sure Daniel was a part or somewhere. He's absent in that story. But the principles of him and his friends are transferable, are the same. Because you know what happened. The Bible tells us that the king erected a strong or a tall idol. And the king made a proclamation that every person, when the music was playing, is to stop what they're doing, drop on their knees, and worship that idol, which was the king of Babylon. And so they erected that idol, and they started playing that music, and everybody started dropping, except for three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Are y'all with me here tonight? Yeah. And they're like, what are you doing? Don't you know you're going to be killed? And so they gave him another chance. And oh, it happened again. And this time, the same as before, they stood up when everybody was bowing down. And they said, you know what the repercussions are? You're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And so guess what? They looked at the king and said, it doesn't matter if God delivers us or not. We're not going to bow. Brother, that's where you have close encounters with God. We may burn, but we will not bow. And I want you to know that they didn't bow. And they threw them into the fiery furnace. But oh, did they have a close encounter with God or not? Because what was meant to destroy them actually propelled them. And they were in there and they were not being burned. And they didn't have the smell of smoke on their clothes. And the king was wondering what's up with these guys. And he finds a way to look in the fiery furnace. And he counts one and two and three. But there's a fourth man in the fire. Brother, that's a close encounter. Oh, somebody say amen. There were four men walking all around. Listen, you may be in the fire, but you're not alone. I want you to understand that God doesn't always show up to get you out of trouble, but He always gets into trouble with you. Can I say that again? I don't know what fire you're facing. I don't know what furnace you're in. I don't know what trouble you're facing. But God may not take you out of the trouble, but He'll be in the trouble with you. And you can have a close encounter as long as you don't bow to your feelings and to your thoughts and into your way or to the idols of this world. And then, number six, another predicament. And this had to do much later in the book of Daniel. Daniel had risen to prominence. God had favored him. And he had a close relationship with the king at that time. But some of the people around the king didn't like him. Don't you believe and don't you know that there's going to be some people who just don't like you just because you serve the Lord? Can I get a witness? You be as kind to them, nice to them. I'm not talking about having a bad spirit or unforgiveness or unchristlike. But there are just times people are against you just because you serve the Lord. And so they conspired. They said, we're going to find. So they tapped into his phone line and they couldn't find him talking bad talk. They logged into his internet search engines and they didn't see any questionable searches. They tried everything they could. I'm sure they sent a couple of ladies by. And even though he was not able to be with a lady, I'm sure he would have enjoyed the companionship and maybe set him up in a sense like they did Joseph. But understand this, they couldn't find anything. He is one of the two Bible characters that you can't find any wrongdoing other than Jesus. That is Joseph and Daniel. They are two of the godliest examples in the Word of God. And they could not find anything. The only thing they could predict that he would do every day. How many of you know what it was? And how many times? Three times a day. Morning, noon, and night. I don't know when it was. So they had a law changed. And by the way, you hear me tonight. We're in that time period, and I thank God for what He's doing through our president. It is obvious when you see him and you hear him, you can know. I understand Jensen Franklin, who is a man who started the fasting movement or reignited the fasting movement, and churches and denominations joined with his fasting. He started. God raised him up from these very areas of eastern North Carolina, from our very own. And has put him, and he is now a spiritual advisor to President Donald Trump. We ought to praise God for that. Amen. That Jensen Franklin has an ear. But we don't know how long this grace period is going to last, and we better work because the other side is rising up. Did you see the latest legislation to kill? That's what it was all about to start with. They wanted full abortion up to and even after birth. They showed their cards. It's a wicked, vile, heinous demon party from hell, and everybody that's a Christian, a true Christian, needs to get out of it and get out of it fast. And I don't care if you get in trouble for it, because you know what? I'm going to stand up like Daniel. Amen. I didn't tell you to be a Republican. I just said get out of any party that's for that. That would have been my last day. It should have never been first day to start with. Can I get any abortion whatsoever? We are against 1,000% abortion at all. There's no right to take a child's life under any circumstance. Well, that's radical. No, that's God. Because God is the author of life, and He can bring good out of bad. And I know sometimes mothers may pass away, and I don't know what I would do in that situation. I know what I hope I would do. Trust it all with God. Oh, what? There's laws going to be passed that's going to come against churches. That if you don't allow certain members to join, if you don't, pastor, if you don't marry certain people who want to get married, then they're going to file a lawsuit. They're going to take away your tax-exempt status. We saw that when the Houston mayor said we're anti-discrimination against the gay community. And so any pastor that's preached against gays, we're going to come after you. So we want a copy of your sermons. Do you remember that? Do you not realize that that's where we're headed if we don't rise up and pray and have some close encounters with God? And I want you to know that they changed the law and said it's against the law to pray. Can I ask any? Yeah, they did. I'm talking about Daniel, not Houston. Okay. Let me get you back here back there. Amen. But Daniel, going back to Daniel, they passed a law that said you can't. Well, they have almost passed a law that you can't pray now. Amen. They took prayer out of school, right? Yeah. Come on now. And they said, if you pray to any other god other than the God of Babylon, then you've broken the law and you're going to be thrown into the lion's den. And so the law was passed, and Daniel had a choice to make. It wasn't that hard. He got right on his knees and he prayed. He prayed 3 times a day. And they arrested him because he was a man of prayer. And as a result, they threw him into the lion's den. Oh, are y'all with me here tonight? The king knew he had messed up. And the king was so anxious. He had to know something was up with Daniel's God. And they threw him into them. Those lions were hungry too. And the next morning they came out and Daniel was over there just rubbing them on the chin and they were purring. You know how cats are. They were rolling on their back and licking their jaws and knocking Daniel on the head, playing. Can you imagine playing with those lions there, man? I just know this had to be a scene. You know, my imagination. I think about Darnell's cat and some of the things it does to kind of wiggle around. And you're laying on the bed, and all of a sudden the cat's over there walking on you and patting you down and scrooching up to you. And I just know that Daniel probably had the best warmth. Those cats probably. Are y'all with me here tonight? I tell you what, the king looked back and God had shut the mouths of those lions. You talk about a close encounter. And my friend, if you find yourself in the middle of the lion's den, it may be at work, it may be at the hospital, it may be somewhere out here that you didn't realize. I promise you, God is the same God and He can shut the mouth of the lion. Who is the lion? The lion that is a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil. He doesn't have authority over you. You've got authority over him. You can have close encounters with the lion right there next to you, and you can praise him and bless him because he will give you close encounters in the lion's den. Do you believe it? They took Daniel out and they threw the other people in, and the lions had lunch. I tell you, please understand Daniel's position. Far away from home, mutilated, violated. Daniel's predicament. He would not bow. His friends did not burn. And he was true to his convictions. And then let me close tonight with Daniel's principles. He modeled several principles that I believe if we model, that we'll have close encounters with the Lord. What was one of the principles that he modeled? Number one, I don't know if Brother Blue was able to get this up or not, but he had submission and respect for authority. Can you say amen? Amen. You see, he had a submissive and a respectful spirit for the king that he served under. Now, that king was an ungodly king. That king was represented the kingdom of this world. But yet, this was still the king. This was still the one whom God had put in authority over that particular realm. And I'll tell you that God, you cannot have close encounters with God if you have a rebellious spirit with God-given authority. You've got to have humility. You've got to have a submissive spirit. You've got to say, yes, Lord, to those whom God has put over into your life. And you will never really have close encounters until you are polite and respectful to those, even to people like on my job. I may have a boss or a supervisor that may be contrary to me, but I'm under obligation to be respectful to them and not chew them out or give them a piece of my mind. I wish somebody helped me preach here tonight. We've got to walk in the Spirit. We've got to be like Daniel and be respectful and submissive of authority. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't need to tell exactly how we feel or exactly where we're coming from. I welcome people in my office as a pastor. I open the door and said, you tell me exactly what's on your heart, exactly what's bothering you. I'd rather know, and we can pray about it and work together. And that allowed a lot of healing. But at the end of the day, whenever God's leader says, this is the way we go, that's the way we go. We get on board. Can I get a witness here? Turn around and ask your neighbor, are you on board tonight? If anybody on board at Westmoreland? Praise God. God's given us a pastor. God's given us leaders. God's given us so much. And if we want to have close encounters, that doesn't mean that we always agree on every little thing. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got a good idea. But listen, we got to come under God's idea. And let's come together as an army and as the church of the living God. Amen. Now, I have learned over the years as pastor, I have learned that I'm never to flaunt or my authority. I heard about a pastor who he submitted to. He told his church, he said that he's submitted. He subscribed to the doctrine of pastoral authority. He let them know, I want you to know I subscribe to the doctrine of pastoral authority. And the congregation canceled his subscription. So please understand that. You know, husbands, you have the authority. Trust me. You have the authority. You have the position. And you can go in there and you can tell your wife, I'm in charge. I'm the husband. But they're going to cancel your subscription too. I promise you. Please understand. But listen, at the end of the day, we have to be submissive to those who God has put over us, or else we won't have close encounters with God. Say amen. Amen. That's in the church, that's in the home, that's in the workplace, and God will bless. That's for children. Children must be taught this. Children should never be allowed to speak back to their parents. Children should never be allowed to rebel. Children should be held accountable. They should be disciplined. And I'm getting off this subject because I've never raised the first one, but that's the way it should be. Amen. Hallelujah. Daniel also modeled the principle not only of a submissive spirit, but he modeled the principle of learning and education. Did you know Daniel was very educated? Now listen, I know we're Pentecostals, and I know that we believe in the power and the moving of the Spirit. But we cannot get over into this anti-educational mentality that because you're educated, you are quenching the Spirit. Then nothing could be further from the truth. Education should cause more freedom of the Spirit. Now, if you get educated and you change and you dry up and you start relying on your own mind and your own philosophy, that's where you're going to kill it. Amen? The more you learn, the more godly, the more holy, and the more spiritual you really ought to be. But there's nothing wrong with being educated. We should encourage our children and teenagers to study, to hit the books, to graduate, to excel. We should celebrate like Jose and others that work, that you're just not going to get anything. And I'm going to move this a little further because I'm not preaching to teenagers tonight. I'm looking across this congregation and there's people from all ages. I don't care if you're 70 years old or if you're 17, you can still be growing and learning and educating, because if you stop growing and learning, you're not going to have a close encounter. When I learn about history, and people are like, well, I don't like history. Brother, when you learn about history and how God has moved in the past, you'll be more encouraged for the future. Can you say amen? We need to learn. We need to be like that. In fact, Daniel, he studied some non-spiritual stuff. He studied the stars. He was an astronomer. He did. He was one of the early ones that would map the stars. You know, they could line up the star here and the star there. And I thought he prayed a lot. I thought he read the Bible. Well, he also studied the stars. Why did he study the stars? Because God made the stars. And Daniel probably had the idea that there's a purpose for everything. Amen? So he lined the stars up. I mean, that's you go back and study it. What difference does that make? Several, many years later, there were some wise men from the east that had studied and read behind Daniel. And they looked at Daniel's studies, and they realized, and they looked up at the sky, and they looked up at Daniel's charts, and they were like, there's a star shining. That's not part of Daniel's studies. So according to Daniel, and he's reading the prophecies of Daniel, the Messiah is coming because he's going to be cut off. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that God can use education and learning, because his education and learning took those wise men to the baby Jesus, because when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Get into the Word. Open the Bible. Open a dictionary. Learn a Hebrew word. Learn and study. Study to show yourself approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Learn and don't just watch TV all the time. Don't just listen to music all the time. Read a book. Take a course. Learn another language. Do something with your mind that God has given you. You'll never know what doors will be open to you and what an impact it'll make. Can you say amen? Amen. And then Daniel modeled a principle of prayer and fasting. Go to Daniel chapter 10. And I'm coming to a close. Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. One of the principles that Daniel modeled for close encounters was one of the principles that we follow here at this church. It didn't start with Jensen Franklin. It started with Daniel the prophet. What was it? The 21-day fast. And Daniel had a question. And he had a need. And he knew God had the answer. And he said, I set myself to fast and pray. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. Then said he unto me, this was after the fast, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. He said, your prayer was heard, and I am come because of your prayer. Say that with me. I am come because of your prayer. Say that with me. He has come because of my prayers. Somebody say this. He is coming because I'm praying. I'm telling you, prayer makes the difference. God hears those whispers. He hears those prayers. Look at verse 13. Daniel chapter 10. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me, talking to the angel, 21 days. I want you to understand that when we pray and we fast, we'll have close encounters with God Almighty. Amen? How many of you want close encounters? And then go to Daniel chapter 7, where we started at, because this is where I'm going to leave you at. Oh, we've talked about all of these things tonight. But I want to leave you with this. Daniel's position, Daniel's predicaments, Daniel's principles, the greatest principle of all is Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. And I beheld till thrones were cast down. The New American Standard Version says, I kept looking until. Somebody say until. That's one of the greatest principles that you're going to discover for having a close encounter with God, is that one little word, until. Because it's not going to come instantaneously. It's not going to come. It may take 21 long days. And it may be 10 days. But I believe God is coming. And God is up to something. But here's the principle. We got to keep praying until. We got to keep fasting until. We got to keep believing until. As Jensen Franklin said, we got to span the great until. There comes that time when we begin to seek and we begin to pray and nothing seems like it's happening. But you keep praying until. You keep fasting until. You keep believing until. You keep giving until. You keep witnessing until. You keep loving until. You keep obeying until. I know it looks like the devil is winning. I know it looks like things are getting worse. But I'm going to hold on until the answer, until the breakthrough, until the revival. I'm determined to have close encounters with God, and I'm going to praise Him until. I'm going to worship Him until. I'm going to be faithful in a few things until. Somebody shout hallelujah tonight. God is up to something. Your prayers have been heard. He is on the throne. Keep shouting until we see God bring the miracle. Amen. You got to be like Billy Sunday. Go ahead, my brother. Get ready to play. He said, I'm against. I love this. Billy Sunday. He was a preacher back in the early 20th century. He said, I'm against the devil. I'll kick him as long as I have a foot. I'll fight him as long as I got a fist. I'll butt him as long as I got a head. And I'll bite him as long as I got a tooth. And when I'm old and fistless and footless and toothless, I'll just have to gum him to death until I go home to heaven and he goes on down to hell. That's what I'm talking about. Spanning the great until. Would you stand with me tonight? Do you want a close encounter with the Lord tonight? Do I have any young people that want a close encounter with God? Do I have some people that are praying and praying and you need a breakthrough and you need to keep praying until? Do you believe that you can have a close encounter with the Lord despite all of the predicament, despite all of the problems? Do you feel like you're facing the lion in the lion's den? Well, then come tonight and let's have prayer. Come on tonight, everyone, as they begin to sing, as they begin to play. Father, tonight, we thank you for close encounters. Oh, God, we know prayer makes the difference. Principles of submission. Help us to be submissive to those who are over us in the Lord and in our life. Oh, God, help us, Lord, tonight to trust you and believe you. And, Lord, if we're in the lion's den, if we're in the fiery furnace, oh, God, there's a fourth man walking around. Come on, call out to the Lord tonight. 10 days, I believe the Lord's going to turn it around. I said, in 10 days, I believe. Somebody hear what the Holy Ghost is. I said, 10 days, we're going to see something happen. Who knows? Maybe that old property at Nash Street will be sold. I don't know. Within 10 days, I believe the Lord is going to give us close encounters. Come on, everyone, lift your hand tonight as they sing. Come on tonight. Oh, I beheld until
I can face tomorrow.
Keep on until.
Be faithful
until
all fear is gone.
And some possibilities. God, you're the God that shuts the mouth of
I can face.
You're the God that can turn it around in 10 days. Oh God, we give it to you. The battle is not mine. The battle is not hers. The battle is the Lord's. God, you didn't come to get her out of trouble, but you're in trouble with her. You're going to make a way.